This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move along in the Psalter, picking up with Psalms 101 to 103. I will walk with integrity, like an evening shadow, that a people to be created may praise the Lord, to set free those doomed to die, and bless the Lord, O my soul. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God.
In your light do we see all.
A reading from Genesis chapter 49. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel your father. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of all of the peoples. Binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he has washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth whiter than milk. Zebulun shall dwell at the shore of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall be at Sidon. Naphtali is a doe let loose that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful bow by a spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, and harassed him severely. Yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who is set apart from his brothers." This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Dear friends, Epiphany celebrates the light that reveals hidden things, that unveils a mystery. A mystery is like that packaged gift that inspires our expectations because it is already present in our hands. It only awaits the joy of being unwrapped. And so the joy of Christmas is that the full mystery of God's glory already now dwells in human flesh. And the joy of Epiphany is that this mystery now begins to be unveiled as Jesus preaches and teaches, heals the sick, casts out demons, and raises the dead. As the old hymn puts it, "God in man made manifest." And so in Epiphany, we are called to contemplate the most profound truth, that God desires human flesh to be the canvas on which his eternal glory is displayed. As St. Paul writes with great wonder, "For in Christ the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." And yet for St. Paul, this divine mystery is not a recent development. Indeed, Paul calls it the mystery hidden for ages and generations, the mystery hidden for ages in God. In other words, the mystery of God's glory being revealed in human flesh was already concealed there in God's creation of man in his own image, already wrapped up in the mystery of Abel in his martyrdom, already hidden for Abraham in the birth and sacrifice of Isaac. And dear friends, it is this mystery that now moves Jacob to speak in our text for today. "Then Jacob called his sons and said, 'Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come.'" Now, it might be expected that an old man at the end of his days would be more given to nostalgia. We might expect him rather to reminisce about the past. And yet here Jacob expresses no regrets about his faults nor pride concerning his successes. Rather, here the patriarch is consumed with nothing but the eschaton. His mind is on the days to come. His whole life lived in expectation of the divine mystery yet to be unveiled. Indeed, Jacob has wrestled with this mystery since he first grasped the heel of his brother while still in the womb. He tried to control this mystery through the deception of his father and his brother. Yet when wrestling with that angel of the Lord, Jacob learned that the mystery of God cannot be taken or possessed or controlled. He must wait. Wait for the blessing to be given. Wait for the mystery to be unveiled. And the mystery that Jacob awaits in our text is the one given to him at Bethel. Jacob first visited Bethel, as you know, when he flees from his brother. There, resting his head on the rock, he first saw the mystery of the Lord glorified on a ladder. And later in Genesis 35, Jacob now returns to Bethel, and God blesses him a second time. "I am God Almighty. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body." This blessing is more than a promise. It is the proclamation of a mystery that is even now hidden there in the flesh of Jacob himself. Kings will come from your own body. Abraham received a similar blessing. The seed destined to be a blessing to all nations would come from his body, and even the body of Sarah, his wife. Abraham then perceived this mystery wrapped up in the flesh of Isaac, flesh that was miraculously conceived, flesh that was designated by God for sacrifice on the mountain. And now Jacob, too, will live the remainder of his life in expectation of the kings that will proceed from his own flesh. And following this extraordinary blessing, the Genesis account then leads us to believe that this mystery will surely be revealed in Joseph, the favored son of Jacob. We all know Joseph's dreams. Yet Joseph not only describes them, he even adds his own interpretation. Joseph will be exalted over his brothers. Even his father and his mother, represented as the sun and the moon, will now bow down before him. Kings will come from your body. Surely Joseph's dreams cause his father to wonder. Indeed, Moses tells us, and Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. And so from this perspective, the depth of Joseph's descent into the pit and the height of his exaltation are profoundly significant. And yet, as high as Joseph ascends, he never becomes king, never sits on the throne with a scepter between his feet. Joseph bears the coat of many colors, but not the robe washed in wine and in the blood of the grape. Kings will come from your own body. As appealing as Joseph seems to be, Jacob perceives that the mystery is reserved for another. And so Jacob says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet." To Judah. To hear those words, one cannot help but be a bit surprised. As Jacob now unwraps the gift, something unexpected is revealed. Jacob's words compel now the reader to reflect again on the form of Judah's life. And dear friends, it is not so pretty. It is Judah who convinces his brothers to sell Joseph into slavery. It is Judah who had three sons by a Canaanite woman. Two of them were killed by God for their wickedness. It is Judah whose own wickedness was exposed by Tamar, his daughter-in-law. In comparison with Joseph, Judah's life is faithless and shameful, unworthy of God. And yet, on those sitting in darkness, a light has dawned. Judah changes. He turns from old ways and begins a new path. Judah repents of his wickedness towards Tamar. And then at the end, it is Judah who offers his own life to protect his brother Benjamin. Joseph may have been righteous from beginning to end, but Judah grows. He changes. He becomes more in the end than what he was in the beginning. And dear friends, God delights in things that grow. Indeed, Judah's voluntary self-offering for his brother surely embodies that greater gift of which Jesus speaks. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. This self-sacrificing love is surely the mystery hidden there in the martyrdom of Abel and concealed in the sacrifice of Isaac. And this is the mystery Jacob perceives in Judah. It is the mystery fully unwrapped and now enlightened by Jesus Christ and his cross. The mystery hidden in the body of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and now Judah is the mystery of God's own self-sacrificing love, the mystery of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. And dear friends, to partake of Christ is surely to have the same mystery of Christ now wrapped up in your flesh. To be baptized is to be clothed with this robe washed in wine and in the blood of the grape. To consume his body and blood is to have Christ in you, as St. Paul writes, the hope of glory. And so this Epiphany season, we not only contemplate the mystery revealed in Jesus' flesh, but also the mystery yet to be unwrapped in our own body. As St. Paul proclaims, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And grants you steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Faithful God, whose mercies are new to us every morning, we humbly pray that you would look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Keep safe your going out and our coming in, and let your blessing remain with us throughout this day. Preserve us in your righteousness and grant us a portion in that eternal life which is in your beloved Son, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this time from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.